Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
John chapter 2, verses 18 to 25. John chapter 2, verses 18 to 25. Now, as we read this passage, keep in mind this phrase, show us a sign. Show us a sign. Let's read John chapter 2, verse 18. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Okay, now in this passage of Scripture, the reason that they're coming and asking him about a sign is that he's just come in there and flipped over the tables, scattered the change, gotten rid of those that were selling doves and oxen and sheep and all that other stuff. And so now all of a sudden they're upset and they want to know basically what authority he had to do that. So they're going to see a sign from him to see if he's tough enough to have accomplished what he did there. You know what? There is a lot of attention on signs today. The guys doing them want to show power, and they want to show spirituality primarily. They want to show that they have a strong level of faith, that they are somebody that are worthy of your support, that they are somebody that God has blessed, somebody that you can follow. And the guys that believe them, that want to follow these signs that are going on today, these are people that want to live by sight and not by faith. And they want to have a level of spirituality that says, look, we're able to do something powerful in the Holy Spirit. Now, the Jews in Jesus' day were no different than the people of our day. Today, they want to see a sign. They come to the Lord and say, show us a sign. Prove to us that you're authoritative. And they wanted to know that in Jesus' day. They wanted a sign. Show us a sign. Now, you take what he said. They said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? And he said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Now they answered him. Of course, they didn't understand what he was talking about. 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? And he spake of the temple of his body. Now, if you take the sign that they asked for here, and you take the sign that they asked for in Matthew chapter 12, and you put those together, then you're going to know something. Go back over there to Matthew chapter 12, because they came asking for a sign back there as well. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Now look, they wanted a sign. They wanted a sign in Matthew chapter 12. They wanted a sign in John chapter 2. And he didn't give them a sign. He told them to look for something that was going to happen in the future. Something about raising a temple in 3 days. Something about Jonas, the prophet, being 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly. Now listen, If these were men that were seeking wisdom, that were seeking an actual sign from God that was not just to prove why he was able to flip over the tables, but to prove who he really was, these signs would have pointed them to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They would have pointed them to the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they didn't want to believe what he had to say. They didn't want to believe the signs that he was going to show them. You see, the common thing between these two signs is the 3 days. I will raise it up. And 3 days, something's going to happen to him like happened to the prophet Jonah. Have you gone back to the book of Jonah to read what happened to Jonah while he was there in the whale's belly, where he actually cried from? If you go back to the Old Testament and you read Jonah chapter 2 and verse 2, Jonah cries unto the Lord. He said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. So Jesus Christ, according to Jonah chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 12, actually spent 3 days and three nights in hell, his soul did. Psalm chapter 16 verse 10 shows you that. Acts chapter 2 verse 27 shows you that. Acts chapter 2 verse 31 shows you that. Ephesians chapter 4 verses 8, 9, and 10 show you that. He was in hell, soul was. And so if they had believed what he said, and hadn't been looking for just some sort of a miraculous thing to happen right there in front of them, if they weren't wicked and adulterous and just looking for some way to justify the flipping over of the money changers, they would have understood something concerning the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they didn't want to believe him. They had trouble with the sign that Jesus Christ gave them, as most people have troubles with signs today. Listen, today, the trouble comes from Gentiles seeking a sign. Now, you say to yourself, why would Gentiles be having trouble seeking after a sign today? The reason is that signs never were in the Bible for Gentiles. They never were. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 22. The Bible says, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. So Jesus Christ, in fact, gave the Jews a sign. He said, destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up. He spoke of the temple of his body. Did he raise it up? Yes, he did. Did he fulfill the prophecy or the sign of the prophet Jonas? Yes, he did. He spent exactly 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, just like he said he would, and then he came up. What more remarkable sign could you possibly want than that? Nobody had ever gone into a grave and come up by himself and stayed alive for 2,000 years since that event. But Jesus Christ did. That was the only sign they needed. There was no real need for any other sign beyond that. Now, the Lord continued to give them signs following the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. There were some people speaking in tongues. There were some healing going on and a few other things like that. And all those had their place as long as the gospel was being preached to the Jews, because the Jews require a sign. I mean, they came asking Jesus Christ for a sign. They needed a sign back there when Moses came to take the Jews out of Egypt into the wilderness. But the trouble for us comes when Gentiles start looking for signs. The Bible says Greeks seek after wisdom. You don't need a sign, a visible miracle demonstrated in front of you in order to believe that the gospel is so. You see, the trouble for us today is that Gentiles are looking for signs. The trouble back then came because once the sign was given, at least five things could go wrong with it that are demonstrated for us here in the text. He gave the sign to the Jews, but just because a sign was given did not mean that they were going to believe him, because five things could go wrong, and five things did go wrong, and five things go wrong today. The first thing that could go wrong, and that did go wrong, and that will go wrong today, is that the sign shown is easily misunderstood. Look in verse 20. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? He wasn't talking about the temple that was physically built. He was talking about the temple of his body. And we know that today. The Bible says to us, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? So Jesus Christ was speaking of his body, but they misunderstood him. You see, that's the trouble with signs, that many times people are looking for signs today, but they misunderstand the sign, as they did back then. I'll show you one that was terribly misunderstood after this in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, the sound of a rushing mighty wind came into the upper room. Men began to speak with other tongues, and everybody heard them speak in his own language. And the question came up, what meaneth this? And when Peter began to give an answer, he says in Acts chapter 2, verse 16, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Now the misunderstanding is that it has led people to two false doctrines. The first false doctrine that came from misunderstanding the sign that was given in Acts chapter 2 is that it has taught people to believe that everything concerning Old Testament prophecies has already been fulfilled. Because he said, in the last days, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And it's caused people to believe that everything in the Old Testament prophecies and everything in the book of Revelation has already been fulfilled, and that it is behind us, and that there will be no literal return of the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth, and that when Titus destroyed the temple in 70 AD, everything in the book of Revelation was fulfilled, and that there will be no tribulation. Etc., etc., etc. When I was in the banking business, the executive vice president of the bank that I worked for in Houston taught Sunday school in his church, and he told me plainly out of his mouth, the book of Revelation has already been fulfilled. When I did one of my theses for my master's, the one on the rapture of the church, I began to read a lot of books that talked about the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies. And one of the things that was used as a proof text was this chapter right here, Acts chapter 2. The sign was misunderstood. Peter said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. He's getting ready to tell you what the prophet is talking about, but he didn't say that right there everything was fulfilled. And you know that. How do you know that? Because in Joel, verse 19 of Acts chapter 2 says, blood and fire and vapor of smoke, the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. You see, he was referring to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ at the end of his prophecy there in Acts chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. And the idea that these men were beginning to speak in tongues, he opened up the prophecy for them to let them know something concerning God's dealing with the Jews. The sun and the moon were not darkened. The moon did not turn to blood at that time. So they misunderstood the prophecy. The tribulation is still to come. The other misunderstanding of the prophecy in Acts chapter 2, and the sign, excuse me, of Acts chapter 2, is the charismatic movement. That the initial evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life is your ability to speak in tongues. And they tell you that if you're not speaking in tongues, you do not have the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost, and that if you're not speaking in tongues, then you need a second blessing. And they go to Acts chapter 2. And go on to Acts chapter 2, verse 38, following the sign, to prove to you that you must be baptized in water in order to be saved. And that's a misunderstanding of the sign. You see, there are a lot of people that get these things fouled up. You know, remember Jesus Christ was talking to his disciples one day, and he said, whom do men say that I am? And they said, you're Jeremiah, you're Elijah, you're that prophet. And he said, but whom do you say that I am? And they said, or Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And you know what? People have misunderstood that. And they said, well, what he said, what he meant to say is that Peter is the first pope and that the church is built upon Peter. And a whole professing Christian organization has been built upon that misunderstanding. And that's not what he said at all. He said to the disciples, he said to the Pharisees in John chapter 2, destroy this temple, and he wasn't talking about the place where they sold the doves and the oxen and the sheep and changed the money. He was talking about his body, but they misunderstood him. And when he said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, he wasn't talking about Peter, he was talking about himself. You go to Deuteronomy chapter 32, and you'll find out that Jesus Christ is the rock. You go to 1 Peter chapter 2, and you find out that Jesus Christ is the rock upon which the church is built. He's the foundation of the church and of the building of the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It's a misunderstanding. So the problem with signs, first of all, is that they can be easily misunderstood. So for you to be chasing after a sign today is a very dangerous thing because you may not understand the significance of what it is about, just like they didn't understand it back there in their time. All right, now what's the second problem with signs, and particularly this sign? Signs not only can be easily misunderstood, they can be easily doubted. Look at verse 22. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Well, they did eventually, but they didn't understand it right away. They didn't believe the scripture right away, because the thing could be easily doubted. Do you remember a fellow named Thomas? What was Thomas's problem? Well, Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and everybody said they'd seen him. And Thomas said, everybody said to him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. He doubted. And they had all testified that they had seen it. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them, and then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. That should have been enough sign right there. He popped in out of thin air without going through the doors or the windows. That wasn't good enough. He said to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. He believed it when he could actually see it for himself. But the trouble with signs is they can easily be doubted. Thomas had to see the risen Savior himself, but he had already heard testimony that Jesus Christ was up, and the word had already been spoken by those that had seen him. You say, well, so? Once he saw, he believed. Yeah, but not everybody did. Look in Luke chapter 24. In Luke chapter 24, Jesus Christ met two guys on the road to Emmaus, and they were upset because it was the third day, and Jesus Christ was supposed to be risen from the dead. And they said in verse 22, yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. When they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. Well, why didn't they believe what the women said based upon the fulfillment of the sign? Verse 24, certain of them which were went with us to the sepulchre found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he, Jesus Christ, said unto them, watch it. O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So what was the problem? They doubted the fulfillment of the sign. He said, 3 days and three nights, I'm coming up just like the prophet Jonas. He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. They misunderstood him. So they were looking for the wrong thing, and consequently, when it happened, they doubted the sign. And people are just like that today. That's the trouble with signs. Show us a sign. Listen, you've got a fulfilled Bible right here in front of your hand, and a Bible that has a bunch of prophecy that has not yet been fulfilled that is going to be fulfilled exactly the way that God wrote it. What he wants you to do is believe the word. But here's the problem. Signs not only can be easily misunderstood and easily doubted, but signs can be easily magnified, and therein lies a huge problem. Look in verse 23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. Well, what does that mean? When the miracles dry up, guess what? They were not going to believe him. You see, the key verse to this passage that we're reading here is verse 25. He needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. He knew that men would misunderstand what he said because they wouldn't believe him. He knew that men would doubt what he said because they wouldn't believe him. And he knew that men would easily magnify the signs if he would give them the signs, and that's why he didn't give them a new sign right there to prove that he had the authority to do what he did and say what he said. Look in John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, Jesus Christ has just fed 5,000 people, and then the next day they start following him around. And look in John chapter 6, verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." You know what they did? They magnified the sign. The miracle then becomes more important than the word of the man, Jesus Christ. Oh, that's so important. When you listen today to people that keep preaching on the radio about faith, when you go to these churches and they keep talking about all these charismatic signs that are going on and people break out slain in the spirit, and they feel something crawling up on their neck, a sensual expression of what they think is the presence of the Holy Spirit in the place, and they see Jesus coming down out of the ceiling. You say, "Wait a minute, man, preacher, you're talking nonsense." I'm not talking nonsense. I've talked to people who have been in the places. I have a friend of mine that was in a charismatic church. The two women sitting next to him said they saw Jesus Christ in the return air vent in the back of the church where the air conditioner vent took in the air. I had a fellow that I led to Jesus Christ. He took his 12-year-old son to one of these charismatic churches, and his son professed during the year that they were there that three times he saw Jesus Christ coming down out of the ceiling. These people go in here and they hear all these people talking signs and wonders and slain in the spirit and feeling things crawling up their neck and all that other kind of stuff going on. You know what they've done? They have magnified the sign. That's why Jesus Christ wouldn't give them any other sign but that what he had told them, he was going to rise from the dead. Because that one he couldn't avoid. He knew what they would do. He knew they would magnify the sign and come chasing after him because he was the miracle worker. And so people today know that, and the reason they're chasing after these churches today is because of the miracle workers. In Acts chapter 8, Simon believed what was going on, and then he saw the Holy Ghost given by the laying on of hands, and when he saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay my hands he may receive the Holy Ghost." That's what he wanted. He wanted to magnify. he wanted to magnify the gift. Well, listen, let me tell you something. Jesus Christ never magnified the miracle above his words. When he rose from the dead and had fulfilled the sign of the prophet Jonas and had raised up the temple in 3 days, just like he said he would, you know what he did when he joined up with those guys on the road to Emmaus? He didn't show them his hands and his feet like he did to Thomas. You know what he did? Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all scriptures the things concerning himself. He preached the word. He said to them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And so in our text here in John chapter 2, you know what he said? He said this, "And they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said." That's the whole purpose of the sign, is to get somebody to believe this book. But now that Jesus Christ's book is finished, and we have a completed Bible, and we have a Holy Spirit to guide and teach you in all truth, all you need then, you don't need signs anymore, all you need now is the Holy Spirit to confirm that the words of God being preached are true. And you will not believe the words of God because you want to see a sign. You're no different than these guys that were gathered around when Jesus Christ chased out the money changers, and no different than the unbelieving fools on the road to Emmaus who wouldn't believe what Jesus Christ had said, though Jesus Christ was standing there right in front of them, and no different than Thomas who wouldn't believe unless he could live by sight. The signs are easily magnified and become more important than the words of God and more important than the man Jesus Christ himself, and that's why the Holy Spirit is magnified out of proportion. Listen, signs can easily be misunderstood, easily doubted, and easily magnified beyond what they were for. The attention today is on the gift, the feeling. Look what it does for me. Look at my healing. Look at my tongues. Look at my money. Look at my power. And that's what's attracting the attention of the world. And it's wrong. Why? Because the fourth thing is, these signs can easily be counterfeited. They can easily be counterfeited. Listen, he said when he rose from the dead that his disciples believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. But today you've got a thing that's going contrary to the words of God, and people are not believing the scripture and the word. They're believing the sign. Listen, these signs can easily be counterfeited. When Moses turned the water to blood, so did the magicians. When the rods were turned to serpents, so did the magicians. When the frogs came in, so did the magicians. What does that tell you? That tells you to look for counterfeit signs today. You say, but oh, this can't be counterfeited. It has to be the power of the Holy Ghost. They're speaking the name of God. Well, the Bible tells you in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, when the Antichrist is here, he'll be him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. In Revelation 13, when the Antichrist is doing his work, you know what he's doing? He's doing his work through deceit. He has the power of and the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast. What was he doing? Miracles. Jesus Christ wouldn't give the wicked and adulterous generation and wouldn't give the Pharisees and the money changers a sign right there, because he knew if they did, they would misunderstand it, they would doubt it, they would counterfeit it, they would magnify it. And I'm going to tell you something else about signs. They're easily, easily forgotten. The Jews forgot the signs that were done in the wilderness and wanted to go back to Egypt. Just like Psalm 78, verse 10 to 12 says, and the Jews forgot the signs that Jesus Christ had done, and they killed him. And the Jews forgot the signs that were done by the apostles, and they killed all of them and exiled John to the Isle of Patmos. And that's exactly what's going to happen to this wicked and adulterous generation that's seeking after signs. You're going to forget. You're going to forget. Don't go after that stuff. Go to the Scripture and go to the Word which Jesus had said.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.